We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There's so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we've carved out a space just for you, the creative entrepreneur making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is much that we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Proof to Product, and welcome to our show. Today, I'm talking with Ellie Newt. She's the creative lady behind Verb House Creative. She provides content creation, digital marketing management, and consulting services to incredible creative businesses, businesses with personality, heart, and dedication. She calls them her client friends. On today's episode, we are talking about misconceptions that creative entrepreneurs have around marketing, why fewer emails is oftentimes more impactful, and why you don't need to be focusing on all of the social media platforms, why it's best to kind of pick one and run with it. Ellie also shares how she helped one of her customers increase their wholesale sales by 250%. All of this done through stronger images and messaging on social media. It's pretty incredible. Hey, Ellie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi, of course. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to talk to you. I know that you are working with several of our Trade Show Bootcamp alumni, and they are singing your praises. I think I first learned about you through Meg of Bell and Union and the ladies over at E. Francis, and you were doing photography for them and also, I think, managing their Instagram accounts, which look beautiful and sound beautiful, and it's also very much them. So major kudos to you for stepping into a role where you have to absorb somebody else's voice, or not absorb it, but, you know, reflect it back out in the world. Is that difficult for you to reflect other people's voices?
It's not. I actually think it's one of my secret hidden talents. When I was younger, I thought I used to want to be a speechwriter for the president, which I'm very glad that's not the direction my life took. But no, I really enjoy it. And I think it comes really naturally to me. So not that hard.
It was definitely fluid when I was looking at their stuff that you did for them.
I love to hear that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So for those listening that are not familiar with your company, Verb House Creative, what types of services are you offering and who is your ideal client?
When I think of my ideal client, I think of my current clients. And I like to call them client friends because they're a lot more than just clients to me. So I serve creative. That's just kind of how it's turned out, but if you're not creative, I'll still take you, of course, but creative entrepreneurs with their digital marketing. And I say digital marketing and not social media marketing, because I think when you hear social media marketing, you think of just Instagram or Facebook, but I really believe to have a solid marketing strategy in this crazy digital age that you need to have so much besides just Instagram or Facebook. So I mainly focus on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and email marketing, and then photography. And then that comes along with quite a bit of copywriting for that as well for my client friends.
Awesome. How did you get into this line of work? What's the backstory there?
It's kind of a funny story. So I went to school for photography and I was on the like fashion photography track and, you know, thought I was going to move to New York City and do that whole thing. But then a certain boy, who's now my husband, so I guess it's okay, came along and messed up all my plans. So we got married and we moved to Austin in 2013, I think. And back then, Instagram was not what it was right now. It was still like pictures of your dinner with a Balenciaga filter or something. And I was kind of burnt out on photography, didn't want to do the fashion thing anymore. And I had a friend who was involved in the fashion industry, and she kept telling me that I needed to go up and down South Congress, which, if you've been to Austin, you know South Congress. It's where all the like cool shops are, and it's just a pretty awesome street. So she kept telling me that I needed to go up and down that street and pitch my photography services to these brands and tell them, you know, I can help you with your Instagram, I can help you market, blah, blah, blah. And I told her, that's ridiculous. Like, Instagram is for pictures of your cats and your dogs and your dinner. Like, nobody wants this. And so I kind of forgot about it for a while. And then slowly I just found my way into this thing. I followed her advice and just found my way into this whole industry, market, business, kind of funny to think about it like that.
That's awesome. So I'm sure you hear this all the time, but you know, many product-based business owners that I work with are super overwhelmed by the marketing. On one hand, they love to connect with people and share their visual messages, especially on platforms like Instagram, because they're creative people and building creative things. But I think it's the legwork of taking the photos and coming up with the things to say and even the logistics of scheduling emails that kind of paralyze them. So I'm curious from your standpoint, what misconceptions do you see amongst product-based business owners when it comes to marketing and creating a marketing plan and executing on that plan?
Oh my gosh, so many things. I think one of the biggest things is that they think they need to do it all and they think that they have to be on everything all the time. And that's not true in the slightest bit. I wish I could tell everybody this in every industry in the world. So when I work with a new client friend, we try to pick, you know, what I think is going to be best for them. Is it going to be Facebook or is it going to be Pinterest? Where is their market hanging out on? It's not, nobody's on everything. Like a lot of people like to think that, but they're really not. Or if they are, they're using, you know, like Instagram more than they're using Pinterest or, you know, so it's just figuring out which place that their audience really is actually hanging out. And then I suggest, you know, hitting hard on that, like one or two platforms. And then I think it's paralyzing for everyone. Like it can be paralyzing for myself even to talk about my own self and my own services. And I think that's where it's really key to get some outside help because it is hard. It is paralyzing and you have a million other things to do, but this really has to get done. So
totally. The other thing in that same vein, I think the other thing is it's really hard to talk about ourselves sometimes.
It's so hard.
We undersell ourselves. We undersell our successes we've had, whereas somebody coming from the outside in can take a look at the bigger picture of all the things we've done or the things we're selling or creating or whatever it is. And I feel like they bring a unique perspective to it. And they can do it in a way that doesn't feel salesy, but still feels authentic to who you are as a brand or a person or, you know, whatever it is that your business is about. And I don't know, I feel like sometimes we're just too close to it to really do it its justice, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Always, I think.
And I totally agree with you. I think too many people are trying to do too many things.
Hashtag all the things.
I know, right? Okay, so we talked about some of the misconceptions and even some of the pain points of like people feeling paralyzed. But when it comes to the logistics, you know, talking about ourselves is hard. Are there other logistics that you find creative entrepreneurs struggling with to actually do the marketing, to execute on these plans you're building?
Time. I mean, I think that we all feel like we are really, 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 really busy. And that's because we are. And if you don't sit down to actually make time for this, it's just not going to get done. You have wholesale orders, you have product to create, you have angry customers, you have happy customers, you have a family, you have your dog. Like there are just so many different things that's going on throughout your day. And if you don't make the time to sit down and actually figure out your marketing, you're just not going to do it. You're just going to keep slapping something up, calling it marketing. It's not really marketing. And then you're just going to be in the same place you were a year ago.
I agree. Can you tell us about a recent win you had for a client? You don't have to name names if you don't want to, but like, what did they come to you for and how did you help them? How did you make a transformation in their business?
Yeah, I just helped one client friend increase her wholesale accounts by 250%, which is so exciting. That was her goal, to increase her wholesale accounts. And we did that. Another client friend, that was really exciting. I love to hear that and see that.
How did you do that? Like, what were some of the strategies? I mean, you don't have to give the nitty gritty, but like, what was it that you implemented?
She really struggled with the photography and the visuals and her copy. So she really felt like what she knows her brand is, wholesalers just didn't realize that. She thought that her customers did once they got, you know, her product in their hands, but she just thought potential wholesalers were really struggling to find that connection. So we really focused on her visuals on Instagram and then her copy. And that pretty much did it.
Awesome.
You know, we did other things like email and reaching out, but really just getting everything buttoned up helped her a ton.
Yeah. What are some simple implementation strategy? Like what could somebody take action on right now if they wanted to bolster maybe their Instagram following or engagement? Not even following. I don't believe that the numbers are that important for the following. I think it's more about engagement. Tell me more about that. And then I want to hear about some tips you have for people in general.
Okay. Well, your followers I hate calling them followers too. Like,
I know.
Like, we need a different word for that. Your audience, your people. I'm going to call them your people. So okay. Your people on Instagram, of course, it matters to a certain degree. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter 100%, but I do not like when client friends or anyone that owns a business and is trying to market on Instagram is really focused on that, because you can have a million, I'm going to call them followers. You can have a million followers on Instagram, but if they're not purchasing from you, or if they're not connecting with you or your mission or your message or your brand or your products, then they do not matter.
Yeah.
So I really, really stress to my client friends not to focus on what I call vanity metrics. Focus on your bottom line, really.
And how do you measure how things are converting through something like social media?
So that's one of the downfalls of social media for a business. It's really difficult. I think that's kind of a notorious thing with businesses on, say, Instagram. It's hard to figure out if it's working. It's hard to figure out if they're actually converting into dollars. But I focus on a few different things. So again, we try to nurture people to the email list. We try to send a lot of emails, not a lot. You don't even need to send a lot. That's another misconception. We try to get your followers over to your email list. You can do that a variety of ways. And then we just try to really connect. If you are just constantly selling, 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 and you're not doing what I call connecting and then serving and then establishing on Instagram, then you're just going to keep falling flat. You're going to feel flat. It's just going to show across the whole board.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we dig into that whole email marketing comment you made? Of
absolutely. You don't need to send a million emails.
So what strategy do you recommend when people are launching something or doing a new release?
Yeah, so launching is, I definitely think when you're launching, you should kind of treat that as a different little mini beast.
I agree.
And I do agree that it deserves more attention and more nurturing than, say, just like another random month when, you know, you don't have a new product launching. But say it's a slow month. If you're doing it correctly, if you're doing it right, you don't need to send more than 2 emails a month, really. That's what I advise for most of my client friends. That's what we try to implement, unless it's like market season or they are, well, if you're talking, you know, versus like wholesale emails, which you should definitely be doing too. And then, you know, like regular old retail customer emails, it can kind of vary there too. But, and as we all know, those are like 2 different seasons there.
Yeah. 2 different selling cycles, 2 different audiences. Yeah. All of it's
everything.
Different.
Yeah. It's like 2 different businesses in one. But 2 a month, every other week, really, if you're not launching something new or, you know, trying to like promote for market or something, then that should really suffice if you're on top of it and doing it right.
For our audience, my coaching clients, I always recommend they do try to get to 1 wholesale email a month, which I know doesn't even sound like that much, but it does the job.
And exactly.
Retail's a different beast. I think you can send more on the retail side, but even there, you need to be adding value. You need to be giving them something that's worthwhile to open and building that relationship with them.
Exactly. I mean, we're pretty smart these days. You know, we're all overloaded with like a million different retail emails, you know, like sign up for 10% off. So then you sign up for this email. And then before you know it, you signed up for like 10 different emails in the span of 48 hours because you want that 10% off discount or whatever. You know, we're all smart and we can tell if a brand or a retailer is just sending out emails just because they feel like they need to hit, you know, that certain mark. Whereas if they're really taking the time to create content that, you know, we actually really care about and that their customer really cares about, you know, if they're sending it twice a month, that's seriously, that's enough. And that if you get it and you feel like they spent their time on it and they're really talking directly to you and they're not just hitting, oh, got to send an email this week. You know, we can tell that.
Yeah.
Your customers are smart.
Absolutely. And there's certain things they're coming to you for. So give them what they're asking for. Give them what they're there for. So you are a new mom to twins. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. How has growing your family led you to make changes in your business? Obviously, you know, your time and your priorities have shifted, but have you also shifted the services you offer?
A little bit. I think that I've really gotten 1,000,000% clear on who I'm meant to be and who I was supposed to be and who I've been becoming this whole time. And I think in turn, that's, you know, obviously led me to get a little more clear on what I want to be doing on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly basis. And, you know, so from there, I'm refining some things and figuring out a little more about how I want to take things, but it's changed everything, as they say it'll do.
Yes, I know. It does. It changes quite a bit, although I don't have twins. I know. I understand. You know, I feel like, too, having kids sometimes changes the way we look at ourselves as entrepreneurs. Is there anything you've changed in terms of your routines or your mindset around let's talk routines, actually. Yeah, your routines in terms of when you're working and how you're working, and are you batching things now? Like, how have you shifted things to make sure you're having time for your family as well as your business?
I pretty much wake up really early. I wake up at 5, and I've always been a morning person, but you know, before the twins, it was like 6 a.m. would suffice, or like 6:30. But now 5 a.m. has been, and they're sleeping through the night, so I don't need to be waking up at 5 a.m. But I love 5 a.m. now. And that's really when I get my like biggest task for the day done. And that's when I, you know, say that I'm behind on something, I make sure it gets done at 5 a.m. because who knows what's going to happen throughout the day,
right?
If I don't get it done then. So really, I've always batched work a bit, but I think I just do it a little bit smarter and a little bit quicker now because I don't have time to be like, I don't know, trolling some website when I should be like actually doing something else.
I hear you on that one. Well, you have a new product or service that you released recently called the Bespoke Content Club. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. It stemmed from having a bunch of potential client friends reaching out. You know, they've heard about my services. They know they need the services. They know they don't have the time to create the content and do all the marketing and come up with all the strategy, which, you know, should be tailored constantly and, you know, not just done once and forgotten about. So they know they don't have the time, but they can't necessarily afford the monthly ongoing services price for all these different services. Cause like, you know, it can add up. I'm fully aware of that. Cause it's a full-time job.
Of course it is. Yeah.
So it stemmed from wanting to work with all of these incredible small business owners, but you know, it wasn't necessarily in their budget. So from there, I created this bespoke content club, and it basically rolls all of my full service services, which is monthly content creation and photography and monthly strategy for your different social media channels and your different digital marketing and your email strategy and copywriting, and essentially rolls all of that into one monthly or quarterly membership. And you get a masterclass each month, and you get that custom content photography, which I think really sets you apart. You get that each month. You get tailored strategies each month. You get pretty much everything done each month. The only difference between my full service and the club is that I'm not doing it for you. I'm not implementing, you know, the strategy, and I'm not implementing the copywriting, and I'm not implementing the posting. You still have to do the actual work, but I'm here to guide you along, provide the content, provide the photography, provide the strategy, but you have to go out there and make it actually happen.
Well, that's awesome. It sounds like the best of both worlds for both you, yeah, because you can help impact more business owners with their marketing in a positive way, of course. And then, you know, it gives them an opportunity to work with you at a lower price point. So I love that.
Exactly. And it's a bit of accountability, you know, on their end. If someone's, you know, beside you telling you what to do and guiding you along, you kind of don't want to disappoint them or yourself too. So it's really awesome. I'm really, really excited for it.
That's cool. How many people are you allowing in the program?
So I'm allowing in between 6 and 12 at a time each quarter. It opens up each quarter, enrollment does. And so there's a 3-month commitment, which something about that. So a lot of people think that if they just start, you know, hitting Instagram really hard or hitting Pinterest really hard, within 1 or 2 weeks, they'll see a huge uptick in their business. And that's not necessarily quite true. I'm a firm believer that it takes a solid good 2 to 3 months to really see the effects of good marketing and good content and good strategy. Mm-hmm. So the 3-month commitment really holds you to that. And you can reevaluate at the end of those 3 months, you know, if you think, oh, this is amazing, this is business changing, I want to keep going, or, you know, I think I've learned what I need to learn, I'm out for the next quarter, say.
Nice. I like that. And is it by application only, or can anyone just sign up?
No, it's by application. It's for female product-based biz ladies, because I just really like those people.
Me too.
Don't tell the men.
No, it's all right. We've got dudes that listen to the show too, but we
hi, dudes. I do like y'all, but the other people have had my heart.
No worries.
Yeah, and it's more product-based businesses only. And then you have to apply just because I want you to be really serious about it. I think it's really easy to, you know, just simply enroll in another course or enroll in another membership or, you know, just enroll. And I think we have all of these, a lot of people have a bunch of, you know, unfinished courses or things like that. And by applying, you're taking it a little bit more seriously because you can't just, you know, enter your payment details and then voila, it sits unfinished on your desktop or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I also want to make sure that it's a right fit for you. So I actually had someone apply recently and I just didn't feel like it would be a good fit for them. So, you know, I had to say, I don't think it's a good fit. I don't want to say I had to turn them away, but, you know, I'm going to be honest about it. And if it's not a good fit for you or I, then that's what it is.
No, I feel the same way. I have a group mastermind program that I run for our Tradeship Bootcamp alumni, and I have an application process for the same reasons. I want to make sure that we're a good fit in terms of how this person's fitting in with the group, but also that their business is at a point where they will be able to really truly leverage the group and all that we're doing to enhance their business. So I've turned people away as well, basically. And I do it with love because I tell them, look, I think this would be, and I'm not afraid to direct people to a different program too, if I think they'd be better served by a different coach or a different program or course or whatever it is. So yeah, no, I think it's good to do that kind of stuff. I think it builds to the authenticity of the group that you're nurturing. And then too, it's serving the person that is not joining in a better way because they can focus their time and attention on other things that are better serving them.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's a really important part of the process.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
I agree. So in our onboarding application for the podcast, you mentioned that you have never done any sort of advertising to get new clients outside of your social media. And I think you said something like 99% of your clients have come from referrals, which first of all, congrats. That's amazing. But secondly,
it is amazing.
It is amazing. But secondly, what do you attribute that high referral rate to? How are you loving on your customers?
I just really love them. I think that my client friends are amazing, and that's why the fact that I've never had to advertise is so amazing. I contribute that completely 100,000,000% back to them. They're just all amazing people. But I really truly care about the people that I work with, and not only about them, but I care about their families and their dog, and you know, I care about every single aspect of their businesses and their families and themselves. Because I feel like when you're a small business owner, you know, it's not just your business. Like you are so wrapped up in your business and your business is so wrapped up in every other aspect of your life. So it really, you know, it extends to everything. And I think we just all mesh really well. I think it just goes back down to just really caring.
It does.
I'm not just going to tell you to like do something because, you know, it'll make a quick buck or that's what everyone else is saying to do. I'm going to really think about you and how it's going to serve you. And I just love them. I think that's all it is.
Well, it's a good lesson in customer service. And I know that sounds so cold and doesn't even like parlay or like portray what you're doing for everybody, but providing good service, tailoring things to their needs, you know, really thinking about their business as a whole and immersing yourself as somebody in the business with them, you know, a team member. Yeah. I think there's a lot of service providers that, you know, I did my job and you know, whatever, but they're not as invested. And I know we can't expect, you know, contractors to be as invested in our own businesses, but I think when you do invest in other people's businesses, it does come back, as you've seen. So
yeah, 100%. I've heard a lot of like social media manager horror stories, and that makes me so, so sad because not everyone's like that, I promise.
Right. Well, what's next for Verb House Creative? Like, what are you working on? What's coming in 2019?
Oh, goodness. I feel like this is the year for so much growth. Not so much, I mean, there's definitely business growth, which I'm really excited about, but I think since becoming a mom, like I said, I've just realized where my attention should go and where my heart is going and just everything. So I feel like there's a ton of growth happening kind of more behind the scenes, just figuring things out a little bit more about my long-term, you know, like legacy and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm really working on growing the Bespoke Content Club. I think that it can be such a huge resource for so many people who are really in need of that. So that's my main focus this year, business-wise, probably. And who knows, there may be a couple of fun other things up the works, but they're secret for now.
Fair enough. That's awesome. No, I love how, you know, you're innovative and you're doing things differently than what other people are doing out there. And you're doing it from a place of service. So I think that's really great as well. Well,
thanks.
Of course. Well, where can people find you online to learn more about your services and your content club?
Yeah. So online or on Instagram, I'm at verbhousecreative, and then verbhousecreative.com. And then if you want to find out more about the club, it's verbhousecreative.com/BCC. And if you get that little, you know, correlation there between BCC, you're one smart cookie.
Yes. All right. Well, Ali, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about marketing. I think what you're doing is really great, and you're serving a lot of creative entrepreneurs within my community too. So thank you for how you're loving on them and helping them grow their businesses.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proof2product.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.